Good Sunday morning, and welcome to our service at First Baptist Church on Facebook Live. I want to say to our congregation that are watching and listening that it's good to worship with you on this good Sunday morning, and thank the Lord for all that He has enabled us to be able to do, even in these trying times, to still be able to be connected and have a service, a live service like we are doing today. Today, I am accompanied by Marlene and Chantel, and it's good to have them with us. Marlene playing the piano, and a little bit, Chantel and I will actually sing a song. We're going to have two different scriptures passages to consider this morning. The first one I'm going to read and then pray, and then the other one will be actually for my message. So if you want to go ahead and take your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 46. We're going to read the entire 46th Psalm. And then in the message, we'll be looking this morning at 2 Corinthians 5. So you may want to go ahead and turn to both of those passages. I'll be preaching to you this morning about the compelling love of Jesus Christ. And so if you're in the Psalm, in the Psalms, we're going to read the 46th Psalm. And let me just say a word of encouragement to you about the Psalms, especially during these days. I would encourage you to read and meditate much on the Psalms. They will speak and they'll minister to your heart, deep into your soul, and will help you find great comfort in the Lord. You may want to just, there's 150 Psalms, and I think if you read four or five of them a day, you can get through the whole month. You can do a similar reading with the Proverbs, one a day, and the, you know, with the average month being like 30 days, you can read one of them, and you can always make up the difference reading two or however you have to do it. But the encouragement would be just to be getting the Word of God in your heart and fill your mind with the Word of God instead of a lot of the noise that we listen to and that we see and hear going around us. Let's read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What does that mean, be still? Just be quiet. Be silent. Listen to God. Look to see what God is doing. Look to see what God can do in your life. Not only in these days, but in the days that lie ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great comforting passage, Psalm 46. That you, Lord, are our refuge and our strength. And this morning, Father, we look to Thee for help, comfort, strength, for guidance. Lord, Your Word has instructed us in the Proverbs to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into Thine own understanding. In all Thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct Thy paths. Lord, may we do that also, that we would trust You, that we would look to You and see how You lead in our lives. I pray, Father, that above all else, that You would be honored and glorified by this service this morning. Lord, Your Word also instructed us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so, Father, this morning with this worship service on Facebook Live, We want to attempt to glorify you. We want to honor you. We want to magnify your name. And I pray, Father, for our missionaries, those here in our country and those on the foreign field, that you'll bless their efforts as they seek to minister to their people and to minister in their lands as well. I pray for my fellow brother pastors, those that are nearby and those in far distance, that you'll be with them as they seek to minister to their flock and to minister to those around them, that the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified and magnified in all we do. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Chantel is going to join me, and we're going to sing a song for you this morning called I Run to Christ.
I run to Christ when chased by fear and find a refuge sure. Believe in me, his voice I hear, his words and wounds secure. I run to Christ when torn by grief and find abundant peace. I too had tears, he gently speaks, thus joy and sorrow meet. I run to Christ when worn by life and find my soul refreshed. Come unto me, he calls through strife, fatigue gives way to rest. I run to Christ when vexed by hell and find a mighty arm. The devil flees, the scriptures tell, he roars but cannot harm. I run to Christ when stalked by sin and find a sure escape. Deliver me, I cry to him, temptation yields to grace. I run to Christ when plagued by shame and find my one defense. I bore God's wrath, he pleads my case, my advocate and friend.
Amen. What a great song. What a great truth. If you'll turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there are two verses that we want to consider this morning. 2 this particular passage, the Apostle Paul is talking about his motivation for service. What motivates you? What motivates us? What motivates anyone? Paul, in this particular passage, explains in verses 14 and 15 his motivation. Before we look at the passage, one thing to take note of, that it is interesting that as much as the coronavirus has changed us and stopped us from some things, life still does go on, does it not? I mean, it wasn't like a couple of weeks ago, the clock stopped and the calendar quit turning. No, the clock continues to turn, continues to tick, and we mark off the days of the calendar. Matter of fact, on Wednesday, you'll switch the calendar over to a new month, the month of April. So the clock still continues to turn. Wednesday will change our calendar. And during this particular period of time, I know of people who have gotten married. I know of an evangelist who had brain surgery last week. I know someone who actually closed on a house that they purchased recently. And someone I know passed away down in the state of Virginia. What are we communicating by these different things? That life goes on. Life still continues to move on. The clock did not stop, though much has. And it's interesting that you and I are learning to do ministry and to do life in different ways than that we have done in the past. And you know what? It's not all a bad thing. Some of it's exciting. Though I think our congregation, and I know I am included, that will be glad when we are able to worship again here at First Baptist Church. And we look forward to that day. As we think about calendar events, you and I are reminded today that in the first couple of weeks of April this year, what they bring us, Palm Sunday and Easter. And it's during that period of time that you and I will celebrate the greatest love that was ever given or displayed when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And as we think about that fact, that event that took place all those years ago, may we think of that in light of what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. Notice what he says. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live in unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking this morning about the compelling love of Jesus Christ. And right there in verse number 14, what do we see? We see the power of the love of Christ. The power of the love of Christ. We are a people that know about power. The power of an automobile. The power of different tools that we use to make things, whether they be in the kitchen or in the carpentry shop. The power of a locomotive, the power of an engine. And all of those things affect us in one way or another. And Paul here is saying that the love of Jesus Christ does something. It affects us. Notice what he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What does the word constrain mean? It means to compel. It means to force. It means to oblige. It means to strongly encourage. What is he saying? That the love of Christ has an effect upon us. In December 1978, I was stationed on the USS Blandy, and we left for deployment to the Persian Gulf. And we crossed across the Atlantic. We sailed across the Atlantic to Rota, Spain, and then we left and did 30 knots all across the Mediterranean Sea to get to the mouth of the Suez Canal. And on Christmas Eve of 1978, we made our descent south and going down through the Suez Canal, down into Panama and to the Red Sea, which would take us eventually to where we needed to be, to the Persian Gulf. But on that ship, we had two fire rooms, two boiler rooms that each had two boilers, 1,200 powers PSI boilers that made 1,200 pound square inch superheated steam. And that steam would go across to the engine room where it would go into a turbine. That turbine would turn and turn a shaft that would go through a set of reduction gears that would take that torque and that thrust and turn a main shaft that would turn that propeller and sail us across to where we needed to be. The effects of that steam, we could see it as we moved across. And Paul is saying here in this text that the love of Christ that has a constraining, a compelling effect. It has a pressure. It has a force that it does something in our life. And Paul here is talking about his motive for service, why he did what he did. What is your motive for service? What is my motive for service? Recognition? Fame? No doubt that defines some people, but it did not define the Apostle Paul, and it should not define the church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, as we move in through this passage, not only do we see the constraining power of the love of Christ, but we see what that kind of effect has upon us. What is the effect? The second part we see in verse 15, that the love of Christ should bring about a rejection of the self-life. Notice what he says. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the love of Jesus Christ, the power of the love of Christ, brings about a rejection of the self-life. Living selfishly compared to living unselfishly. And I'm reminded of what Jesus said in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. He says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What are you talking about? He's talking about self-denial. He's talking about humility compared to pride. And whose example was Paul following? He was following Jesus Christ. It's interesting in the book of Philippians in chapter 2. We read of Christ. Paul says in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. The word mind there means way of thinking or mindset. So have this mindset. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does it say Jesus did there at verse 8? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My friends, that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the love of Christ. Who was the Apostle Paul? Well, the Apostle Paul was a Jew. I mean, he wasn't just any Jew. I mean, he was a Jew that he hit it out of the park. Paul crossed every T and dotted every I. You read that. That's his description, his self-description of himself. But when he was, and he was hurling out Christians and killing them. But when he was confronted by Christ on the day that we read about in the book of Acts, on his way to Damascus, what happened? He was saved and it changed his life forever. And all of that energy, all of that passion that he had in the old life, he transferred that into the new life. No wonder he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. The love of Christ, what does it do? It brings about a rejection of the self-life. It brings about a rejection of the self. And so what he says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That means from now on, from this time forward. I like also what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There was no way he was going to live for himself any longer. And this leads us to another thought, and the last thought of this particular passage, that the power of the love of Christ leads us to live for Christ who died and rose again. So he says here in verse 15, that they which live should not henceforth, which means from this time forward, live unto themselves, but should live unto him which died for them and rose again. It's interesting as you look in this passage. Notice what it says in verse 19. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Look at verse 21. I call this the great exchange. For he made him, speaking of Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What is that telling us? That Jesus Christ took the hit for us. On Memorial Day in the United States of America, we pause and remember those who died, gave the ultimate sacrifice for us in America on the battlefield. One of the great privileges I've had in my lifetime is to speak at some of those events. And one of the things I've tried to do since I've lived here is to make it a little bit more personal, so it's not just a date on the calendar. I try to find some names of some people from that are nearby or something to do with our state to make it more personal. Last year, I remembered the Sullivan brothers who were from Iowa and gave the ultimate sacrifice serving in the U.S. Navy. Makes it personal. And as we think about this text, we're reminded that Jesus Christ really did die. And that he not only died, but he rose again. And we should live for him. That's what he's saying. That we should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Christ took the hit for us. We understand that, you know, when we think about that with the soldier or the sailor or the airman or the marine. And as an American, spiritually, and for our salvation, Christ was sent to go to the cross where he took the hit for every man. The great exchange. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul begins this chapter, and this is the great chapter, it's the resurrection chapter. But he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye receive, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. Why did Christ come? He came to pay the penalty of our sins. He came to die for our sins. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's interesting, if we were to turn back and look in the Gospels, after Christ died and he was buried, remember, some of his followers came to anoint the body of Jesus with spices and he wasn't there. And they were perplexed. And what were they told? He is not here. He is risen just as he said. And when they were put in that remembrance, then they remembered his words. What is your motivation for serving? Who are you serving? My encouragement to you today is to live for Jesus, who is the greatest love. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we studied that back in the month of February. And it's the love chapter. In the King James Version, it uses the word charity, but that means love. And it's interesting, in verse 13, the last verse of that chapter, we read, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I noticed this morning my verse for the day from my Bible app comes from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's the message that Paul is communicating here? That the love of Jesus Christ has had a powerful effect upon his life, and so should it have a powerful effect upon those that know him. I can't help but think of this passage and not think about John 15:13, very well known verse of Scripture. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That kind of love has an effect upon us. That kind of love should move us out serving the Lord. And that kind of, the life that Paul is talking about living here in these two verses, who does that follow? It exemplifies Jesus Christ. What was it that Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John in chapter 9 and verse 4? And there's passages like this all over. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In chapter 8, in verse 28, he says, then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, for the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Back in chapter 6 and verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So when we live out 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we are exemplifying the same kind of life that Jesus Christ lived. And does that not just make sense? That people that would name the name of Christ would want to live for Christ. It has a compelling force. It has a compelling effect upon our lives. Who are you living for? What's your motivation for service? Paul's motivation and our motivation should be the love of Jesus Christ, that he willingly went to the cross, that he took the hit for every man, that we through his name, that we, because of his life, that through his life, might be saved and have eternal life. What does Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, Christ is the one that did the work on Calvary. Christ is the one that did the work on the cross. And that we believing in him and what he did is how we obtain eternal life. Grace through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. What does he say? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That passage speaks about the greatest love. It speaks about Christ's death. It speaks about Christ's resurrection. What's your motivation? Who are you serving? My encouragement to you today is to live for Jesus Christ, who is to live for the greatest love, who took the vilest death, and yet in whom we see in the greatest power, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. Serve him. I want to conclude with this passage of Scripture, one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Let's pray.